Welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast brought to you by Sage and Fin24. I'm your host, Zoe Brown. In this podcast, we chat to a range of dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit. Through the season, we talk mistakes, tips, and lessons to get you closer to the business owner you want to be. Rushta Musaji, professionally and fondly known as Rushtush, is a qualified personal trainer and online fitness coach. She's a mom of three boys and has been in the health and fitness industry for the past 11 years. She has also helped facilitate the opening of a functional personal training gym. However, her main focus of training is to reinforce the female body to strengthen weaknesses, correct imbalances, and fix postural challenges. She's also built an online community based on a portfolio of training guides, eating plans, and most recently, beauty products and a fitness app that has changed the lives of women and their families globally. Now, Rush's bio is quite extensive, so I think it's a good time to let her speak. Rush, welcome to the Boldly Business Podcast. I'm very excited to hear about your journey and, you know, to see how the Rushtush brand has expanded. And today we're also putting the focus on today's episode, Money Mistakes Every Small Business Makes. Now, before we get into that from your side, let's start with your business. I think a lot of people that are on roles of influence, they always wonder, how can I capitalize on it? How can I capitalize on my following? So where did your business idea start?
Well, that point that you made, well, first of all, hi, Zoe, and thanks for having me. I'm very happy to be here. The point that you made earlier about capitalizing on your following, it's kind of starting the wrong way around. Yeah. You want to focus on not so much about your presence on social media and how many people are following you, but more about what are you passionate about? What are you good at? What is your talent? Because sometimes we're working and we realize that, is this what life is about? Surely there's more to it. And that's how you slowly discover what your passion is and what you're really good at and what, you know, switches you on and makes you feel alive. And when you start harnessing that, following your passion, which is what I did, I feel it wasn't, because every year there's a new trend in terms of a profession. So DJs were once the thing. You know, then after that, it's a makeup artist. Then after that, you are a photographer. Then it's a hairstylist. So there will always be trends in entrepreneurship and in trade. You have to figure out what your passion is, which of mine became fitness. And through fitness, I discovered how me sharing my journey positively impacted someone else's life. And because I was so relatable at the time, I didn't come from an athletic background as such. I wasn't a sports woman who turned into, and I also wasn't an influencer who turned into fitness, you know? Fitness was the starting point for me. And the feedback that I received from women near and far forced me into realizing that, look, this is what God put me on earth to do, is to use my talent of communication to share my story, share my journey, and share what fitness and health did for me. And then when that started snowballing, it was very organic. When that started snowballing, I realized that, look, as a personal trainer, I mean, this was many years ago, as a female personal trainer, finding yourself in that arena that is male dominated, it's, you have to work a lot harder. You have to prove yourself a lot more. If you're a woman of color, even more so, because in brown communities, fitness and health isn't really a priority. You know, it's always been, you study to become a lawyer, a doctor, you've got to do a real profession. And we were not concerned about hiking and going to gym and yoga. You know, our parents never had time for that. They had to work. They had to do more than one job. Yeah, you had days where you didn't see your folks because they did whatever they could to pay the bills to make us survive. So fitness in our community today has become quite a big part of the market and the spending market. So whether you're near, and back then even more so, because there weren't any women doing normal functional training. It was always bodybuilding. And then at that time, CrossFit just came into Cape Town. This is when I started. And being the girl next door, someone you could relate to and someone who shared their journey, honestly, I felt that I needed to go on my own and start my own gym. So that's kind of like how it all started. And the journey became very organic. So there's only so many hours in the day. Okay. So if you look at the peak times that a personal trainer would operate, it would be before work and after work. Because obviously most of your clients are going to be working professionals because they're the ones who can pay for personal training. So that's the one factor about the business that I managed to make it work for me. Well, I would call it maybe a hack. If you work in a gym that is owned by someone else and not yourself, you've got to live by their rules, which means you can't train more than one, two or three clients at a time. And as a trainer, you're only worth that hour in the gym. There's only so many 5 p.m., 6 p.m. and 7 p.m., you know? And then what time do you finish? 8 o'clock, 8:39. How do I transform those hours into working for me? And that's where you've got to put your business mind on. So open up your own gym, be in control of your own rules, train as many women as I can in that hour. And then from there, I realized that there are women all over that need my help. You know, it's not only in Cape Town. It's not only the women that can travel into the city and train with me in my gym. There are women on the other side of the world that are emailing, messaging, wanting assistance. And that's how my digital portfolio grew in terms of training women and guiding them with eating online. And that's when ebooks started for me, at least. So that was a journey over many years that has been very rewarding for myself and for the women worldwide, seeing how you change people's lives and seeing how things catch on because the work speaks for itself. You know, yes, it's marketing as well. And yes, it's following, but the following grows because the intention is there. You know, you're not trying to make money out of having a following. You following your passion, growing your following, and then going, how do I reach as many women as possible to change their lives? Even if it's just one green juice a day, you know, you've changed someone's thinking as to, hey, this isn't that bad. And I've got so much more energy because I'm drinking this green juice. So then from the gym to the ebooks, I realized, how do I take myself out of the equation and out of the gym and out of the ebook situation, even though I'm still very present there, I decided I needed to build my own fitness app. And it took me over a year to film. I can't even remember how many exercises I filmed, but it was endless days of filming and training. And I launched it in lockdown, the first lockdown last year. Yeah, in March or May.
Perfect timing to launch an app.
Yes. and I launched the app. It was built in South Africa. Liquid Thought built my app. It was shot here locally. The videographer I used, he's local. I wanted to keep it very South African. I used a lot of places in Cape Town that was iconic for me and that molded my fitness journey. So you'll find a lot of training on the mountain, on the promenade, in the sand, on the beach. You know, those are places where I train and those are places that I loved to train my clients, you know. And I say loved like it was in the past because it really, with COVID, we're not doing that anymore, you know.
We're not.
So the app was the next step and I worked super, super hard on that. I invested a lot of my money in that. So all that money from the hours in the gym and the ebooks that I sold went into the app. And luckily, they gave me a payment plan. So that worked out for my budget wise. And then from there, I branched into lifestyle, which we can chat about a bit more later.
But yeah. Well, it's very interesting hearing your journey. But what I love most is how you kept seeing the opportunity to, you know, there's a need for this and you created it. And then you're like, hang on, I want more than just the typical hours that a personal trainer can achieve. So that is amazing. Now, putting the spotlight onto the financial aspect of your business, how did you tackle money management of your business? So, did you do that all yourself? Did you get some external help?
So when it started off as a baby, you know, it turned into, I don't want to use the word monster, but you've got to tame a monster and you've got to have it under control and you need specialists to do that, you know. Luckily for me, I married this amazing finance guy and he's in private equity. He manages budgets. He does financial analyzing. That's what he does. Risk assessment. So he stepped in when he realized that this is actually a bit bigger than what we both expected it to turn out to be. And we manage the business in the most professional way possible. And it's not just, you know, and from the beginning, he would say to me, my friend used this term this morning, a tuck shop. You know, no degrading to tuck shops, but you know, this isn't a tuck shop business. This isn't like a side of the stall business. You know, we've got a budget. We've got to be aware of the money that's coming in and the money that's going out. And from the get go, and the reason why I explained my story in depth earlier was because people must remember it doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. And the money that you use to pay for the things comes from the business that I saved up over the years, you know? And I worked hard for that. I worked super hard. And you would say that managing that would allow me maybe to not take on debt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And do what is possible within the business. But yeah, I definitely think if you look at your business in the most professional way possible, and when I say that, you've got to believe in yourself and to treat your business as something that's not just, because nowadays everybody wants to have a business.
Yes. And they treat it like a hobby.
Yes. And they treat it like a hobby and they don't follow through. They don't believe in themselves. They don't believe that what they do needs to be executed from start to finish properly. And that's where the mistakes fall in and they're not even looking at cash flow. They're not even looking at budget. They're not even looking at things like tax, you know, and all that other payee stuff. What is it?
Pay as you earn. Yes. PAYE.
Yes, there we go. Thanks.
Now, hearing your story, and it's great that you had your husband to, from the get-go, tell you we need to treat this like a proper business. What have been some of the things you learned on the job while managing a small business's money?
So on the job, what I learned was that every single cent counts. And I have this conversation all the time with my assistant and my team. Every single little bit of money that I'm spending here has to make up for, has to be worth it and has to create a profit somewhere. You don't just throw money around.
No.
And, you know, even when I say it's 50 Rand or 100 Rand, that 100 Rand adds up, you know? And you've got to be very careful with the money that you're spending to keep up an appearance that you think other people are concerned about. And that, you know, if it's not in your budget to have an end of year yacht party, then it's not.
No.
But that's just an example. I'm saying when your business is ready, then you put money into places where the business can then afford for it. Don't take out a loan to pay for things that the business isn't ready to sustain itself, you know? And you can turn a hobby into a business if you're smart enough and if you do manage your money properly. So I try to keep costs to a minimum. We also try to keep contractual agreements to a minimum. We don't do long-term contractual agreements where I have... where I'm responsible for something that might not be feasible a few months down the line. Do you know what I mean? Having an e-commerce business, everything is online. So when I'm shooting, it's up to me when I'm shooting, even though I have some people on retainers doing certain work for me. I need to know that the business is paying itself. So yeah, that would be my advice on money managing is more about debt control, you know?
don't get yourself into unnecessary debt or debt that you cannot be in charge of.
Yes.
You're listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast brought to you by Sage for Fin24. I am your host, Zoe Brown. A home for dynamic entrepreneurs across Mzansi as they speak honestly about their journey to profit.
Now, Rush, I wanted to know from you, it seems like you've put a lot of practices and services to employ and make sure that you have a better relationship with money. Do you mind giving us a little bit of an aspect of what some of those are?
So for us, we try to have an automated system where the back end is linked to various things that make our lives easier. So you want to make sure that when you build your website, if it's an e-commerce business, that it is custom so that you can control and add on. And so for example, this is just a simple thing. With e-commerce, you've got to pay courier. And obviously I'm not Takealot, because Takealot, they own their own courier company as well. They own Mr. Delivery. I'm just a small fry. What I did was I managed to get a plug-in that allowed the customer to get billed for where their parcel was going. So if I'm in the, my offices are in the CBD kind of, yeah, and you're in Gardens. So you would only get billed 44.60. And that means we aren't automatically doing labels as well. And everything is a lot smoother and the customer's also winning. So you get to see that that's, you know, and I'm also not responsible for any shortfall if your bill into the Midlands is like 200 Rand for courier, you know, and the people that live there, they know that that's what they're going to have to pay. So things like automating your system, like for example, we use Sage, Sage Cloud Accounting. Yeah, that's what we use. And, what else? What was the question again? What were you asking me?
Well, I was just wondering to know what some of the practices and services are that you've implemented into, you know, basically make your relationship with money a bit better for your business.
Yeah.
You've answered it.
Yes.
You did.
I'm trying to think like, what else could I say? But,
No, that was good. That was good. I promise. Okay. Yeah, that was good. And then, I mean, I'm going to quickly deviate from the questions here, but was there, when you brought out your ebook, wasn't there ever a fear of, you know, intellectual property being shared and then there are people that didn't pay for it? Like you were going to lose out on revenue?
Mm. Of course.
Because people being unethical?
Of course. I mean, but that's been happening since the beginning of time. I wasn't going to let that stop me. I have loads of challenges and loads of obstacles that was thrown in my way. And if you're going to let something like that stop you from creating something, then you've given up before you even started it. And even though, and another thing, if someone steals a diet, how do you as a person follow a diet knowing that it's in your hands through theft? Surely, you know, you're starting it off on a wrong note. So are you even blessing your body? Are you even thinking about the harm? You know, like it's a negative foot. And I always feel, because my family still get very emotional about this, when we see people steal and pirate, which is, I'm not even concerned about that, because the business is still making money regardless of that. And if you need to steal a diet, then you need the money and the diet more than I need the money.
I hear you.
So that's okay. I've made peace with that, you know, like
peace. Well, earlier you also mentioned tax. So I want to now shift the spotlight towards tax. And it's often something that people try to ignore. People try and cut corners. But what is the importance for you of, you know, especially being on top of your taxes as a business?
Okay. So like, you know, my accountant guy, also CFO, AKA my hubby.
He's an all-in-one.
Yeah, sure. That guy. He will remind me from his, you know, it's his job, because he's a part of the business. I have him on board to help me with this kind of stuff, because you want the professionals to step in and do their job. If I'm going to do everything, I'm just a personal trainer. You know, what do I know about photography? What do I know about content management? What do I know about tax? So he will remind me, we're paying tax this month, you know, please budget accordingly for the provisional tax that we're about to pay. I calculate it will be XYZ, you know. So he loves to be that police officer. You know, he is a CA by nature. So that is what he does for people's businesses. So my question, my answer would be factored into the budget. And then also keep yourself up to date with changes within the law of tax and what's happening. And so that you're not, oh, I didn't know. Oh shit, is it this month? And then you know what? You've spent all that money on maybe a marketing campaign. You spend your own tax money on a marketing campaign. We're not even talking about Gucci here, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I think I love how you said that you know what your strengths are and you've delegated the rest to those who, those are their strengths. Now, bringing the attention to, you know, your business as a whole, it has moved beyond the fitness. It started off in the gym. You've created your ebooks. You have brought out your app, but you've also brought out so many other products. And there's a lot more to you than just the fitness app. Now, what for you has been the highlight of building your business to where it is today?
So the highlight of my business is the fact that me stepping into my role as a mother has become the biggest working part within the business. You know, my journey through pregnancy, I was in the gym filming pregnancy workout videos. Do you see the translation there, like from just my life into a business? You know, me doing what I love. And that's why I have a team, so that they can do the stuff that I'm bad at and I can focus on the things that I'm good at, you know? And from fitness, there's a lot more. I always feel like women, you're not just a pretty face. You're not just a wifey. You're not just a career woman. You can be all of those things. You know, you can be a fitness bunny as well if you wanted to be. And for me, I find that through me sharing my journey and having women trust me with their bodies, that's how it starts. So they trust me with their bodies and I want the best for them. I sincerely do. Like, my intention is there. And I would always say that's why I'm successful, because my intention is always right and it's right where it should be. Lifestyle spun off that. And that's where I introduce things like my pharmaceutical range, you know, to have a brand that is manufactured locally here, and to provide a product for women that they're looking for, that it's something that they can trust. So that's my pharmaceutical side of the business. Then I also dabbled in clothing for a bit. Yeah. I just found that it stressed me out a lot more than the joy it was bringing me. When I retire one day, I'll go into clothing, because I love fashion, you know. And as women, we're allowed to love fashion. We're allowed to love the gym. We're allowed to love ourselves. We're allowed to love our girlfriends and go out. And we're also allowed to love our kids. And that's why I brought lifestyle in, because I wanted to show women that you're so much more than what people label you and as what they see you as is the first initial when you walk in through the door, you know. So there's some projects that I worked on that was purely just for fun. And I would say that's my beauty business, part of the business, even though it's a profitable business. But, and I want to mention this, the money from my fitness business, I invested in my side projects that I love.
Okay.
So they still, I'm not looking for an investor, looking for someone, taking debt out to pay for stock or to pay for things. If I don't have the money from my fitness part of the business to go into my beauty business or shoes maybe or whatever it is I want to do, then I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
So everything that I'm doing is like a passion turned into a business, but with the integrity of being run like Vogue magazine, let's say, for example. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody has their place. And that way, we're not making mistakes, even though mistakes do happen.
Mistakes do happen and we learn from them. Now, I have to ask you, do you feel like there have been some mistakes that you've taken big lessons from? Because it sounds like you've got everything like all figured out.
Does it really? So for me, like I'm a creative. I've always been. And I think that's why my training and my exercises, and then I've got a gift for communication. So working as a graphic designer in marketing and design, the communication skills that I have has allowed me to maybe communicate to women or to meet them on their level.
Okay.
You know, I always say I walk beside you, not in front of you, even though I'm a leader, and I lead by example. So it's never a hat that I've got to put on to be a leader. It's just naturally who I am. But the mistakes that I've made, I feel like I don't make mistakes.
Okay, no, you're allowed to say that.
No, but my husband would say, oh, you know, you've got such a big head. But I feel that with COVID last year, it's a delayed response on the economy.
Okay.
I felt that last year, a lot of people became more comfortable with shopping online. And a lot of e-commerce business saw the fruits in that. I know I did. And they were excited to have maybe a different take on reality where they felt that they were going to spend more time taking care of their health and their bodies, which started off great.
Everyone had that.
Yeah, everyone had that, and it started off great. And, you know, we thought we were going to bite this bullet. It's going to blow over. And as the year progressed, many people lost their jobs. A dual income household turned to no income household. You know, people don't know when their next gig is going to be. A lot of industries have suffered because of it. But at the same time, certain companies were still paying out and certain people were still working from home and they were still earning the same amount of money before. But then when we entered this year, we all realizing that how long are we going to be in this limbo for?
And we don't know.
Yeah. How long is the sporting industry not going to be alive? How long is events, entertainment? So many. I mean, that's just the two that came up on the top of my head. So I find that this year, people are being a lot more penny wise. And because we realize, hey, when are we going to get vaccinated and when are we going back to real life? So there, I couldn't preempt COVID and how long this whole thing was going to last, you know? So luckily, I'm still online. I still have an e-commerce business. I can still train people in their lounges, in their kitchens, in their garage. So for me, I'm lucky and I'm so blessed. But it has definitely impacted a lot of people. And it was just something that we never saw coming, you know? And I can totally understand why people are counting their pennies. So if I would say there's a mistake I made, it's maybe not to save more, even though we do save as a business.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you. And I think a lot of people can relate to that. I don't think people realize how much of a rainy day savings account they needed for the time period that we're in right now. Now, Rush, I wanted to know from you, what are some of the practices that you've put in place to, you know, within your workspace, within your workflow to ensure the future proof of your business going forward?
So practices within the workplace, do you mean like systems in within the workplace?
Yeah, what did you make sure that, you know, going forward, that should another pandemic hit or should things change again or be uncertain, are there some systems that you've put in place to make sure that your business is financially secure?
It's difficult to say because we don't know what's going to happen. And for me, I'm in the health industry. And, you know, health doesn't go out of fashion.
It shouldn't.
Yeah, it really shouldn't. Pregnancy, women giving birth, women wanting to take care of themselves. Also, with the pandemic, I find people want to take care of their health more. So they're more health conscious and they're doing things they've never done before. So I always make sure that I know what's going on around me, if not here locally, but abroad as well. And so that I can relate to that and I can find a solution to the problems that women are faced with, because that's really how it started. You know, you had a problem. Oh, Rush, I can't get to gym. That's fine. Don't worry. You can train in your lounge. You know, oh, Rush, I don't have weights. Don't worry. I've got a body weight series on my app. You know, oh, Rush, I need to eat more green vegetables or, you know, for my health, X, Y, Z. Don't worry, I've got an ebook for that. So I've managed to place myself in a position that can't really go out of style. And if we make sure that we keep our overheads at a minimum, you know, and not take any long contractual agreements with, let's maybe say, rent office space. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one example where we found that a lot of people are now working from home. All, how many to let signs are across the city?
It's increased drastically.
Yeah. So you can't forecast that, you know, none of us can look in ahead in time, but if you are, not like I say, don't get ahead of yourself. And there will always be, I mean, I could have the most amazing packaging for my products to arrive at your home, but it's not the time right now in the, it's not feasible in this economic climate for me to be printing and wasting unnecessarily on something that is just, that doesn't really make an impact on the quality of the product and the business. So it's like little things like that, that we need to consider, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
And then another thing is make sure that you have a team. Keep your team small, but also pay them for the hours. And if you can, don't in this time, don't expect people to do anything for you for free. There needs to always be an exchange of some sort. And that way people will always value the product, the business, the service, and also working for you, you know. And together, if we work together, we can create something a lot stronger and something that's almost like forever. You know, like Chanel. Chanel is forever.
It is, yes. It is indeed.
It's not a fleeting moment, and so is fitness. So if we maintain that kind of like polished integrity, you know, then you wouldn't have to worry about, oh shit, did you pay your tax? And trying to figure out your balance sheet like a tuck shop, you know, use the accounting software.
There we go. Well, Roush, thank you so much for giving up some of your time, coming to share some of your experiences. And of course, most importantly, how you've been looking after your finances in your business. Now, how can our audience listening to us right now get a hold of you, get in touch, support you?
Wow. Thank you. Roushtoush.com. Visit my website. Everything is there, from free recipes to free workouts, links to my fitness app. If you're pregnant, if you're postpartum, if you're breastfeeding, if you're not breastfeeding, if you want to get the family involved, it's all online on Roushtoush.com. You can find me there. You can find me on Instagram, Twitter. Yeah, Roushtoush.
Roushtoush is the name to remember. Roush, thank you so much for joining us on today's episode.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Bold Leap Business Podcast. Catch us next week with a new episode.